Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And also, we have a website, propheticnews.com. We have a YouTube channel under my name, Susan Puzio. We have a book called Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. And in the next few months, I will be updating my book. It's available on Lulu, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I even saw somebody selling it on eBay. But it's out there. And I'll probably change the title to Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? Which False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings, because there are so many of them, and we talk about some of them. We talk about Benny Hinn, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Paula White, Juanita Bynum. So we go into detail about some of the things that happen in the lives of these people and their so-called ministries, because I think they talked about disqualifying Todd Bentley from ministry. But these people should be disqualified from ministry too. If anybody comes into a church building or appears on a so-called Christian television network, and they tell you that you have to give God some money in order to get money, they're lying. And we need to throw them out and don't let them back in until they repent. That's what needs to happen. Stop giving these people a voice. It's like, I am so tired of listening to these people, and they're lying. They don't mind lying about God. And I know sometimes people say, because I call them pimp preachers. At first, it was hard for me to say it. I almost said it on television one time, and the host kind of stopped me. But that was back in the day, back in the 90s. I was invited on some programs, but I don't get invited anymore. They don't want people like myself or talking about seed sowing after all, because that's how most of these networks are funded. So, but I had a great television host at the time, Jim Gates, and I used to go on his program, and he let me talk frankly, really, which was great. And we used to talk a little bit about this subject. But you don't hear much talking like that now, because everybody, for the most part, they tell you, well, you've got to give God some money because he'll get mad at you if you don't. And I'm like, what's God going to do with money? I didn't know God had any money in heaven. What's he going to do with it? Where's he going to spend it? And so people say, well, Susan, why do you say pimp preachers? Ooh, it was hard for me to say that at first, but I found some scriptures to back up what I was saying. Because I said, that's what they act like. They act like. And because they prostitute themselves for fame and fortune. And it works. Yeah, it works. It's like the Bible says, there's pleasure in sin for a season. And so it doesn't last. Well, Hosea 4:12, my people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from under their God. Now, you won't find this word, whore or whoring, in most of the new translations. Take it out. So if you say it, people will say, well, that's not in my Bible. Well, it probably isn't, but it should be. Ezekiel 6:9, and they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations, whither they shall be carried captives, because I am broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes, which go a whoring after their idols, and they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. So there's many others, and you can look it up. I encourage you to look it up. And you, like I said, you probably won't find that word in some of the newer translations. So if you really want to look up all the scriptures that talk about whoring, whorish, whore, it would be in the King James. It's a strong word, but it's absolutely true, because real Christians don't take advantage of people. And like I heard this preacher on YouTube yesterday, and he was saying, my mortgage is late. I need to pay my mortgage, and I need 12 people to send me $100. Then he says, and I live by faith. I live by faith. Well, that's not living by faith if you have to tell people your mortgage is late and you need your mortgage payment. Living by faith is shutting your mouth and not telling anybody that your mortgage is late, and telling God that your mortgage is late. And let him talk to people, or let him find you a way where you could pay your mortgage. But that's not living by faith when you're begging. No, that's not. That's not living by faith. No. So, but you just have to know your Bible. And so then you don't get scammed. Then you don't get scammed. But remember, one of our golden rules here is, if Jesus didn't say it, then it ain't so. If he didn't say, slap $5 in my hand, and I will, what do you need? You need salvation for your family? You need a miracle? You need money? Jesus probably said, well, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's probably what it would say. But their Jesus, the Jesus they tell you about, because it's another Jesus, it's another gospel. Their Jesus, you have to slap some money in his hand, otherwise he doesn't do anything. But Jesus never acted like that. He just, when people asked him for things, he did it. He didn't say, did you pay your tithes? Did you sow your seeds? Did you give your first fruits? Did you give your Passover offering? He never said that. So if he never said it, and if he never did it, then it's not so. So no matter what anybody tells you, and if you have any questions about it, because you might say, well, the Bible does say that you'll reap what you sow. Yeah, well, if you sow selfishness, you're going to reap selfishness. It's the only reason you're going to give is because you're going to get something back. That's selfishness. So then, yeah, you'll reap what you sow. But if you give out of a willing heart, and because you care about people and you want to help somebody along the way in life, that's the kind of giving that God honors, because he looks at your heart. That's what he's looking at. He wants to see that you're displaying a Christ-like behavior when it comes to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And some of the people we're going to talk about today, George Bloomer, and he calls himself a bishop, Bishop George Bloomer, Oh, please, let's stop it already. And he might even call himself an apostle anyway. He's been accused. There's been an accusation that's been set forth against him that he committed sodomy or a homosexual act with a young man, a 19-year-old man. This was 30 years ago. That the man's name is Jimmy Battles. And you can hear his testimony on Daryl Moore's YouTube channel. Now, it is graphic. It's very graphic, so beware. And anyway, the accusation that Jimmy Battles is bringing forth, and it is a credible accusation, I must say, is that when George Bloomer blew through town, his little town, Palatka, Florida, it's a little one-horse town. I guess it's probably up more toward the north. I can't remember exactly. I live in Florida, but I don't remember exactly where Palatka is. And here's this young man, and he's going to church, and he's going to this church since he's 13. And sometimes Christians, and of course pedophiles and molesters and sexual perverts, take advantage of the fact that Christians are kind of like in Pollyanna world. We don't like to think people do bad things. Well, especially when you're a new Christian or a young Christian, you think, wow, I remember going over. I was invited one time on a Saturday to go over to this very well-known evangelist's house. And so I go over to his house, and he has a few people over there, his daughter and a few other people. So, and he's sitting in his lazy boy, and he's watching a football game. I'm like, you know, I couldn't believe it, because I always basically saw him when he was in the pulpit, and he was always praying and quoting scripture and whatever. So I didn't think he was human, and I just thought, man, this guy is so holy that he must pray all the time and talk about, quote the Bible. And so when I got to his house and he was sitting there watching a football game, I was just, now, I love football, so I don't have anything against that, but I just didn't believe it, because I thought, I'm going there and we're going to pray and we're going to talk about the Bible. But, you know, he was very human. So, but a lot of these people, they like being put up on a pedestal. They like all these flattering titles. And of course, you can read in the book of Job. I don't have the scripture right now. I can pull it up though. Where Job says, don't give flattering titles to men. Don't give them these flattering titles. Oh, they want to be called doctor, and they don't even have real degrees. They didn't even really go to a real school. Somebody gave them a PhD, or they bought a PhD, or they bought a master's degree. Well, somebody's earned a title, of course, or a you can call them that. I don't think it's required. It's better if it's your friend, especially. You don't have to call your friend doctor, or if it's your friend, you don't have to say, oh, pastor, like these women or kids of pastors that when they talk about their father, they say, and Pastor Don or Pastor John. And the wife says, yes, and Pastor Don or Pastor John. And I'm like, you call him that at home? Like, isn't his name Don? Isn't his name John? Like, can you just bring him down to a human level and call him by his name? So, but when people demand that you call them by a title, they're already separating themselves from you, and they're trying to put you on a lower plane than them, because after all, they have a title. But we're all equal in the body of Christ. Some have some gifts that I don't have, and some have some talents I don't have, but that doesn't mean I'm supposed to worship these people. So it's amazing to me that God gives us a Bible and he lets us quote it. Amen. He trusts us enough to quote the Word of God and to preach the Word of God. Yeah, he does. A flaky people. But he lets us do it. So that doesn't make anybody so special that you can't touch God's anointed by telling people that they're a pedophile and you shouldn't go and tell other churches. I heard the most ridiculous testimonies from people like, well, Patricia King, and then she had somebody else. I can't remember the guy's name right now, but and they were trying to apologize for Todd Bentley for the fact that, okay, the guy is running around and he's been running around for years. These guys, they go to churches and the church is their playground. They just grab young women and young boys, whatever. They just, whoever. And they molest these people. And so I don't make excuses for these people. Throw them out and that's it. When a pedophile or a child molester knocks on your door, do you let them in the house to spend time with your children? And they're like apologizing, and Patricia King is asking this guy, did you actually call churches to warn them about Todd Bentley? Yes. He says, oh, no, I didn't do that. Oh, I did warn one pastor. Yeah, you better warn people about child molesters and sexual predators. How stupid can you be? Oh, they're acting like, oh, you know, we have to follow Bible principles. Yeah, well, what about the man that was running around the church and he was having relations with his father's wife? What did they do? Okay, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says at verse 12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? We're supposed to judge inside the church, but them that are without God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Throw them out. Don't let them around your children and your wives and your sons and your daughters. Please, it's like, stop already. Can't believe these people. They know they can get away with it. They're all the Christians. We're just going to love them. No, love them from afar, okay? And if they don't show godly character within a certain, you sit them down and let them go get a job like at the post office or at the supermarket or something. They don't need to be supported by ministry. I even saw one person was taking up an offering. He's trying to collect $10,000 on Facebook for Todd Bentley. So his family, his wife, because they've been through so much, and to send him on a vacation because he's not working so much now because he's not getting invitations. Well, you can get a job because you don't belong in the ministry preying on people. You can deny it all you want. But when they say they have screenshots of Todd Bentley exposing himself to people, they have text messages of him asking for sex from males and females. So what, the screenshots lie? The text, everybody's lying. And of course, he hasn't been convicted in a court of law. No. That's a big, but the accusations, yes, there are accusations, but there's evidence. And you always have to have evidence to back up an accusation. You have to have evidence. It wouldn't stand up in a court of law. And so it has to be the same thing. We can't accuse people of things and it's not true. But this with Todd Bentley, it's been going on for years. Going on for years. Here's some of the accusations that have been leveled against him. Okay, so he was brought up on a tribunal. Certain people, I guess Michael Brown and Todd Bentley, says that he's had to slap a lawsuit on him to keep him quiet, to stop him from defaming him. Oh, anyway, how could everybody's lying? The pictures are lying. The text messages are lying. The phone calls, the voice recordings are lying. No. But that's a true, some of these people call him a narcissist. And they say, well, the narcissist believes his own act. They actually believe what they're saying. So someone that was working for Todd Bentley, a man named Stephen Powell, he was the first one, actually. Of course, there was accusations about him for years, and then they sat him down for 6 months, and then he was restored, and they let him back in. Look, ministry is a good gig for these people because they go around and they collect these big offerings, and then they tell you about seed sowing and all that. So where are they going to make $1,000 a day? Most of them don't have those kind of skills to go out and make money like that. So yeah, ministry for them, it's a good gig to live a lavish lifestyle, and to have to go out and get a job like for $15 or $20 an hour. Oh no, you know, they can't do that. So let me mention some of these allegations. This Stephen Powell, and you can see these videos or on the internet if you search Stephen Powell and Todd Bentley. But Steve, he worked for Todd, worked with him or traveled with him, and so he came out, I don't know if it was September, I can't remember exactly when it was. But anyway, he came out and he put a video up on Facebook, and he was distraught because it's one thing to talk about people you don't know. But when you know the person, it's a lot harder. When you traveled with someone and you spend a lot of time with someone, and then you find out that they're not the person you thought they were, and especially when it's a so-called minister of the gospel, you're even more distraught because you trust these people. And you think they're like you, that they don't go around preying on people in churches. So when they find out that they're predators, they're crushed. And so anyway, I couldn't find the actual, I think he took it down or he edited his video, because he was actually naming these accusations in the video a few months ago. And anyway, this is an article from a website, and here's some of the accusations. Testimony of a male intern, and this tribunal, that they gathered evidence over the past few months, and they interviewed the accusers, and they looked at the screenshots, and they looked at the text messages, or they heard the phone calls and whatever. So they came to their conclusions that he wasn't fit for public ministry. So that should have happened a long time ago, because in the meantime, look how many people were victimized, because some of them wanted to make sure that they were acting in love. No, I'm not acting in love. If somebody's doing something to my kid, you better tie me down. You know, if it was me, that's why sometimes a lot of children don't even tell their parents, because they know what will happen if they tell their father and mother what somebody's trying to do to them, or somebody is doing to them. They know what will happen. Anyway, here is a he says that the testimony of a male intern who claims that Todd offered to pay him $500 to send Todd a video of him doing something to himself, which I'm not going to say. We'll leave it up to that. It was a sex act anyway. Testimony of a male intern who claims that Todd and his wife sent him naked sexual pictures and videos frequently. Testimony that Todd made out with a young female assistant whom he is not married to, walked into a room, closed the door, and stayed in there for at least 30 minutes with his wife in the same house and knowing about it. Testimony of Todd smoking weed with a male intern from 2018. Testimony of Todd being caught with pornography on his phone. Oh, and of Todd being caught watching pornography in his hotel room with his female assistant that he was not married to. Todd's excuse when he was caught was, it's no big deal, it's just soft porn. I mean, who does that remind you of? Paula White's husband, Jonathan Cain, and her telling people in her church to watch porn. And if you don't know about it or you haven't heard about it, you can search it on the internet and you can see the actual video of them saying it. I have the audio and I've talked about it quite a few times. Testimony of crazy drunkenness, substance abuse, and crude sexual behavior and speech on Todd Jessup's part. Well, the accusation is that him and his wife have an open marriage, and he left his first wife, and I don't know if he had two or three children with his wife. I think it was his first wife anyway. I'm not sure. But he leaves her behind, and he has an affair with this woman that he's married to now, Jessa. And Patricia King, she called her Jezebel at the time because she thought that she was trying to take him away from his wife. And I guess they were trying to help keep the marriage together, which, of course, when you have young children involved, it's young children, old children, I don't care what age the children are, they want their mother and they want their father. They don't really want a stepfather and a stepmother. And you can ask any child. I'm sure many of you are fine stepmothers and stepfathers, but if you ask any child, and I know me being a child of a mother and a father that managed to stay married for over 70 years, I didn't want any other mother and I didn't want any other father. But don't be offended by that, because like I said, I'm sure if you had to be a stepmother or stepfather, and in some circumstances you have to be, but when the father runs off with some other chick and leaves your mother, and the chick stays with your father, and she doesn't encourage the father to go back to the wife and to try to work it out for the sake of the family, well, yeah, I would say that's Jezebelish. Yeah, I would say that. I was like, what is wrong with this Patricia King lady? Why is she apologizing? You don't have to apologize. She says, oh, I didn't mean it to hurt. To hurt? Yeah, well, the Bible says you rebuke them sharply, sharply. So it's not like, oh, you just imagine, okay, just imagine that your husband was running around with some intern and you found out about it. Are you going to say, when you see your husband or you see the woman, oh, you're going to be gentle and merciful and kind? I don't think so. You know? I don't think so. What are you going to say? Nice little girl. Thank you very much for running off with my husband. I don't want to say anything unkind to you. I'm like, please stop already. I mean, do these people live in the real world or what? I don't think they do. I don't think they do. That's why we have all these problems in the church, because nobody wants to say anything. We don't want to offend anybody or hurt anybody's feelings. Yeah, you better offend somebody and hurt somebody's feelings. Especially if they're running around with somebody's husband or somebody's wife, or they come in, these preachers going around collecting offerings from church to church, and then they pick out, they see a nice looking woman or some nice looking young man that they like, and they pick the person out. So then after, they invite them to the hotel room for who knows what. So because nobody is standing up for the things that they should stand up for. So these people have power. They have influence. They have money. And so they use it to abuse people. And then these nutty preachers, they want to be apologetic about hurting their feelings. I wouldn't be hurting your feelings. You better get out and don't come back, okay, until you get born again. Because if you're a habitual predator, I don't care what anybody says, you can't be saved and be a habitual predator. Sooner or later, when you're born again, you're supposed to change. Which usually what happens is, that's what born again means, that you once had an old life that was stupid and you were a sinner. But then when you get born again, you're supposed to be smarter and act more like Jesus. I like to see Jesus, like when he comes upon a sexual predator, say, oh, I have to talk so nice and kind to you. What did he do with the money changers? What did he do? He went in there, he flipped over those tables. You know, I'm like, go on, Jesus, we need more. We need more of that kind of thing. Enough already. Enough. And a lot of it goes back to how they handle their money. A lot of it goes back to that. If they have the nerve to prostitute themselves, to collect offerings, then they are capable of anything. Because if they will sell the gospel, if they will use the gospel deceitfully by coming and lying to you, they don't belong in any pulpit anywhere. And it's time to clean house. Stop inviting these people. Stop supporting these people. If your pastor is inviting these people and supporting these people, then I think you should get a new pastor. If you go to him and you express your concerns and he gets mad, and then they try to shun you and they say you're a troublemaker, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's time to leave that place behind and find some place where you have a man of God that's going to stand up for holiness and righteousness. Amen. Anyway, I'm going to try to refresh this page because for some reason I'm trying to get these audios, and on this computer I have, it's not going to, oh, I think I'll be able to get them. I want to play some of these audios for you, but anyway, with this Todd Bentley debacle, then there was, of course, Rick Joyner was involved. Well, they thought that Rick Joyner was his covering. There's no such thing as coverings, let me tell you. there's a scripture in Isaiah that says that basically God is sick of this whole thing, like about coverings. And I don't have it pulled up at the moment. I could get it for you, but of course you could do a word search. It's in the King James covering, and I believe it's in Isaiah, but no man can cover you. Your pastor has a camera in your house 24 hours a day and he watches you, but he knows everything about you. I know somebody that has a camera in your house 24 hours a day and he's watching you. Yeah, it's God. It's God watching you 24 hours a day. And if you can't let God cover you, because you can't hide anything from him, then you are lost. If you think some man is going to cover you, oh, and I have to answer to somebody. Yeah, look at these people. Todd Bentley, George Bloomer going around allegedly molesting young men when he's going out on preaching engagements. Who's covering him? The pastor's basically turning a blind eye. And I think he was actually working for Shirley Caesar as an associate pastor at the time. I think that's what Jimmy Battles was saying, is that George Bloomer was actually working for Shirley Caesar. Oh, please. Anyway, Rick Joyner made a statement. I think he makes a statement. He writes this big, long statement. I never know what this guy is talking about, because it's like he talks in circles. And I think it's meant to confuse you so you can't really understand what he's saying. But basically, he's trying to downplay the accusations. I think there was even one audio where he was saying he didn't believe it, or he's still going to not give up on Todd. Okay. Let's see what this article says about Rick Joyner. The report was successfully submitted to Rick and the others. I asked for a meeting with Rick to discuss and process, but up until this point, Rick has not met with me about the serious issue, which has been very confusing and disappointing to me. I think that's Stephen Powell's statement. I could be wrong, but I believe that Rick Joyner did not meet with him. Some of the witnesses I talked to at the beginning of my investigation have since withdrawn their testimony because they have been threatened by people. And that does happen. That does happen, because there is a Christian so-called mafia, and they don't want you talking about them or they say defaming them, because there's big money involved in this. Sometimes there's millions of dollars involved. So to pay somebody $500 or $1,000 to hurt you, that's a drop in the bucket. And I wouldn't put anything past some of these people. I'm not saying that these people that we're talking about are doing this. No, I'm not making that accusation. I'm just saying that it could be done. And for instance, in the book, Give Me That Old Time Religion, or it was a book that was written, I think, in 1979. And the author escapes me at the moment, but he wrote in his book about Oral Roberts and all the money Oral Roberts was collecting and some of the other things that were going on in Oral Roberts' ministry. And he was actually beat up and he was in the hospital. So it did happen to him. I don't think they ever found out who did it, but I wouldn't put anything past these people, because when you're talking about somebody taking in millions of dollars and you come along and to them, you're basically a nobody. And like, who are you to talk about them or defame them? Look, they don't need my help. They don't need my help. They don't need any, really need anybody's help to defame them, because they do a pretty good job on their own. If you look at their videos or some of their preaching. And so they don't need much help from people that are exposing them, because they do a good job exposing themselves. It's like Paula White. She exposes herself most of the time by some of the things that come out of her mouth. So who are they going to blame for that? Who can George Bloomer blame for his behavior? Is he going to blame some person that's putting up YouTube videos or somebody that's doing a broadcast on the internet? Who's he going to blame? Don't blame the people that are just repeating things that you said. And some of the things that you allegedly did. I'm sure there's, the accusation is true about the homosexuality, I'm sure there's other people besides Jimmy Battles out there. And some people don't come forward because they're afraid. They're afraid. They don't want their life to be in a turmoil. And that's the thing. If people cover up these kind of things, pastors especially, I just think it's disgraceful. It's just disgraceful. I'm sure people know. I'm sure there's people that know about a lot of these closeted homosexuals that run around and call themselves ministers. So the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Sooner or later, you're going to be found out. And you won't need anybody else's help to be found out, because God will reveal your sin openly. God is merciful in so many ways, where he will cover people for a certain time to give them time to repent. But then all of a sudden, ba-boom, because I'm sure this event that happened with Jimmy Battles happened 30 years ago, he said. And he kept it, and he didn't really talk about it. And he had called into a YouTube radio broadcast, and the guy basically just blew him off, you know. And then I don't know exactly how he got in touch with Daryl Moore, who then put it up on his YouTube channel, and he gave him the platform. So, but he had bottled it up for years. But I'm sure he's not alone. And so you see, it took all this time for this thing to come out in this very public manner. And now that he's come out with his testimony, there'll probably be other people that will come out and talk about it. But here's the thing, too. If you've been molested or abused by a so-called preacher of the gospel, you need to tell somebody to make sure that they don't go and do it again in some other church and victimize somebody else. Because they will victimize other people. And anybody that's been molested, especially as a child, knows how damaging it is. It's very, very damaging. And especially when people don't believe you. it's even more damaging, because church is supposed to be a safe place that we go and we feel safety. We want to go there to be edified, to be taught the word of God. We don't want somebody sticking us up with a gun for an offering. We don't want somebody picking our pockets. We have enough of that all week. People bombarding you with phone calls and commercials and whatever. And then you go to church on Sunday and you have the same thing over there. They have predators running around and gospel pickpockets and whatever. So why bother going? It's more stressful to go over there than it is to stay home. You want to go to church on Sunday. You want to sit there and enjoy the music and enjoy the fellowship and enjoy the teaching. And not the, you're so great and you have a destiny and you have a victory. And yeah, most of us are just dealing with stuff every day, things that are going on in our life. It's like one thing after another, sometimes boom, boom, boom. And you say to yourself, like, give me a break. Is there a bomb in Gilead? Anyway, let me see. So, anyway, Rick Joyner, he didn't really step up to the plate as he should, which I wouldn't expect him to anyway. Because he's a bit of a narcissist himself. So you can see, I'm going to try to get this audio pulled up. I'm having some trouble with these audios. But anyway, I hope we've seen the last of Todd Bentley for a long time. Sit down, be quiet, get your life in order, and forget about ministry for a while. Minister to yourself, because you need it. You need it yourself right now. Minister to your wife, to your children, and start there. And then when you get all that in order, and then you get saved, and you show true godly repentance, and you show that you're not going to use the church as your playground anymore, and maybe people can welcome you back in. But I would say, just please don't try to have a public ministry, even though you want to, because it's very lucrative. Anyway, I'm going to refresh my page here. I don't know if I don't. If I lose my connection, we'll see. Anyway, let me try to refresh this page because I can't get this video, these audios to work. I wanted you to hear Todd Bentley for yourself and some of George Bloomer. I'm like, well, when I heard George Bloomer one time when he was over at Randy White's church, and George Bloomer says he's taking up an offering and he's holding the offering envelopes in his hand, and he tells the people, he's sweating, and he tells the people, look, I'm putting these envelopes on my head, on my sweat. And it has these envelopes have my anointed sweat on them. And come up here, take this envelope and put some money in it. And people were actually running up there and taking those envelopes. Yep. It's like that scripture, Babylon, Babylon, how hast thou fallen? Is that how it goes? I think that's how it goes. Yeah. What is going on over here? Like, why are you letting some guy wipe his head with envelopes, and then you're running up there to go get the envelope so you could get a blessing. I'm like, I don't want your sweat. Go away and stay away, please. But yeah, that's what they call church. Let me tell you something. I am glad that I am free of it. I am free of it. And I can look back on it now and say, thank you, Jesus. You delivered me from my own stupidity and for believing the Seed Faith Gospel, for believing these people who don't give a hoot about you and about your people. And that is really the truth. That is really the truth, because anybody that really cares about people, you don't abuse people and you don't use people for your own gain. You care about them, like the Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts. He was leaving, I think when he was leaving Malta, and they were leaning on him, on his shoulders and his neck, and they were crying because they were going to miss him so much. They didn't want him to go. They loved him. And what did he say to them? It is more blessed to give than to receive. That's what he said. But these guys that come around, they say it's more blessed to give me some money than to receive. They don't love you. They just love themselves. And hopefully, we're just a small drop in the bucket, really. You know, I think somebody was saying this the other day. We're just a small drop in the bucket in a big ocean of heresy and debauchery that goes on there, that goes on. And but anyway, we're going to try to do our part, okay? So, I was able to pull up some of this audio. So let me play. Here's Todd Bentley on himself and all the accusations that are coming against this poor guy.
He worked for a nonprofit organization, received money, and shared in the internal conspiracy that Patricia King has been proven linked to since Patricia King in 2008 publicly said to my wife that she was Jezebel. Patricia King, that is not a mother. Patricia King has been found lying. And we have her in audio and we have her in text message. I will hold Patricia King accountable. Do not believe those things. When we have the evidence, we don't want to leak the 4 hours of audio. You can't make up audio. We do not want to leak the corruption that has been proven and the lies that have been proven and told. As Dr. Lewis and Michael Ficus and many others that are now starting to speak up are saying, this isn't about what Todd has or has not done. I have a public video, guys, if you haven't seen it. And you haven't been reading the statements from me and Jess or watching our videos, you probably have no idea what's going on. And we didn't want it to be public on Facebook. We've never one time wanted to be outside of biblical boundaries and air dirty laundry about anybody. And I could come on here and air so much dirty laundry about major ministries and major leaders, especially if we're going to open up the new standard of you can go back 15 years and use anything from anybody's past and anything they've been forgiven and healed and restored from and make it a case in the future. And there's no accountability. I won't stand for that, but I've got to be 100% clear. I actually appreciate, though I do not know the leaders that were a part of the tribunal, I have zero issue or zero negativity to say anything about any one leader that was on the tribunal. I appreciate their statement on Dr. Michael Brown's wall and the fact that, you know, many would say they were gracious in covering. I have zero issue, and my issue has not been ever the tribunal. My reason for the lawyer, I would have to come public and uncover other host of ministries that I don't want to play their game. I don't want to play the game of the ones like Rob Radosti that has been proven to have anger and hatred, and it's proven. Stephen Powell, and they can spin it in the name of we have this victim or 60 victims. There's still not one. Can you imagine in the better part of a whole year, no accuser? Not one accuser. People keep saying, Todd, step down, repent. For what? Have you seen my repentance video? It's pinned on my public Todd Bentley Facebook wall. This very wall for my ministry page, there's a pinned video. If you haven't watched and shared that video, you missed my repentance. In fact, I might have put out more details than the tribunal themselves about my past sin. But I'm clear, not now. Not in the last 6 months, not, it's half a year. We don't want to carry this into the new decade, and I won't. We're letting go. And my wife and I are going to go after the harvest and do our call, and we'll do it as business people if we can't do it as a church leader. And my ordination, and my call is from God. And I will not defend a sin I've repented of. I will not defend it to people that have been proven false witness and people that have been lying and not upsiding their promises. And now we have hours and hours of audio. We've got, not from Todd Bentley, by the way, not Todd Bentley, not Fresh Fire Ministries. I'm not threatening. But there are multiple potential lawsuits coming against a lot of ministries because they wanted to take it to this level. And they left the church hurting, bringing it into the new decade when it could have been said and dealt with in the past. I just got on here to say I'm letting go. I'm not holding on to anger and bitterness. I'm not looking to use names and accuse and uncover anybody. I just refuse to resort to the level that many others in the name of the Lord have gone to. I know my sin. I'm sorry. My wife's forgiven me. God's forgiven me, and I'm just trying to move on. I haven't even planned a 2020 public ministry event as far as where I'm traveling and speaking. I'm sorry and apologize again for those of you that may have ever been hurt by knowledge even of my behavior. If you participated in any behavior with me, what I've already confessed, forgive me. I really want reconciliation with people. I don't want more and more and more and more exposures and uncovery. I'm not looking to defend and attack Michael Brown. I'm not looking to defend and attack the tribunal. They put out what they put out. I'm guilty. I have a past. But at the same time, I'm not going to let people accuse me of the stuff Stephen Powell accused me of and people that don't want to come forward by name. If you're going to be somebody to come forward with and use your story for something, and I find out, I can't promise you that me and my leaders won't make a big deal about it, and we won't use names. And the only way I could end this process is that I had to get a lawyer and put a cease and desist on Dr. Michael Brown, because there were people talking about illegal crimes and intentionally pursuing people that were minors. Absolutely not. I would never be a part of intentionally being a part of anything illegal. So I'm not on here to just continue to address and defend. I'm just here to say I'm moving on, case closed. I will not be involved in any future talks or restoration or questions, case closed. And that's the decision me and my wife, Jessa Bentley, have made. And what decision I'll make as far as what I might do in my future or in 2020 is freedom between me and the Lord and the men with God that are me relationally. And I will continue, as I always have, to preach the message I've preached about hope, recovery, restoration, and grace. And in this season, listen, people, let it be told truthfully that should I want to, I could probably put in motion things to destroy a lot of ministries and people. But that's not what I've been after. And don't believe for a second, in the name of truth and righteousness, please don't.
Oh, I could put things out that could destroy a lot of ministries. Well, if you have all this information about other ministries, then why don't you put it out? Because maybe, what is all this stuff about destroying a ministry? Just because you tell somebody that somebody's a predator or a child molester or an adulterer, that's not destroying somebody's ministry. They're just destroying their own ministry. They don't need your help destroying it. They do a good job on their own. So if he really has all this information about these people running around abusing people in the church, then why doesn't he come forward with it? Why are you hiding it? I didn't know that we were supposed to cover up child molesting. The Catholic Church did a pretty good job of that for years, covering it up. And millions, probably millions of children have been molested because of it, because they covered it up. We're not supposed to cover up those kind of things. So if he really does have information, he's not going to name names. They make a big deal about this naming names. So if there's a child molester or a sexual predator in your congregation, what are you supposed to say? Oh, there is a child molester here, but we can't name a name. It's, please, stop already with this thing that you can't name a name. You better name a name. Throughout the whole New Testament, they named names and warned people about other people. I don't know where they get this thing from that, oh, don't make the name public. Yeah, you better make the name public and warn people. Because I guarantee you, if these people, some of these people knocked on my door and wanted to come in my house, I would not let them in my house. They're not coming in here. So it's the same thing in the church house. No, don't come here. No, don't come here. We'll go for some counseling sessions outside. But and I'm not saying, you know, actually just directing it at these two men, because it goes on probably more often than it's been told. But a lot of these people that have these sexual addictions, especially to pornography, they start to do things that they're not supposed to do, as far as attacking people, raping people, these because then they have to start acting out. And there's been many studies about this, particularly one comes to mind, serial killer, Ted Bundy, before he was being put to death, and supposedly he had a come to Jesus moment. And then he was interviewed with, I think James Dobson went to the prison. And I believe that video also is available to look at out there. But Ted Bundy, he was a terrible, vicious serial killer. And he said he got his start when he was a young boy and he started looking at pornography, and then it started to build. So then he started to fantasize and do things that he wasn't supposed to do. And he wound up killing people all over the place. I don't know how many victims he had, but he attributed it to the fact that he was addicted to pornography. So it's like the Bible says, lust, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin brings forth death. So people with unbridled lust, when they can't control their passions, they are liable to do anything. So it'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out. There was a video that came out last week, or an audio anyway, from a girl that I couldn't find it. Actually, somebody that had it took it down. So I don't know what happened to it. I don't know. They were saying something about, I don't know if it was her, but they were saying that she was afraid. I'm not sure they were talking about this particular girl, but because she was getting death threats. And she put, but her testimony was that he came to their church, and then he flirted with her. And even though she was married, she flirted back. And then they started exchanging naked pictures. And she actually had the pictures. So how do you deny that? You can deny it all you want and say you didn't do it, but the pictures don't lie. So there's evidence, but you see that he just denies everything. He just denies everything. And then he makes the threats that he's going to uncover other people's sins. Well, maybe some of those sins need to be uncovered. So if you have information of people committing criminal acts on people in the church, it should be brought out into the light. So we know who these people are. We could avoid them. Like the Bible says, if a brother be a fornicator or an extortioner, which that's the seed faith gospel and the tithing gospel, an extortioner, don't even eat with that person. Don't have anything to do with that person. That's what the Bible says. Don't hang around with that person and pat them on the head and say, nice wolf. Oh, nice wolf. It's like, run for your life from these people. But we'll see what happens. I'm sure that there'll probably be, it's not the end of this whole thing, because he's trying to get back into public ministry where he's getting invitations. But it's never going to be the same, because usually when they start this kind of a downfall, they never really come back to their former glory, so to speak, where they're taking in millions of dollars and they have so many invitations, they don't know what to do. But some of the things that have been attributed to Todd, well, he says he never wanted to hurt people, but I remember that when he was at Lakeland, Florida years ago, he kicked some man in the stomach and he claimed that the Lord told him to do it. Well, God's not going to tell you that, to kick somebody in the stomach. And then another thing was that in this article, it says among his claimed miracles was a grandma slapping healing, where he said God told him to slap an elderly woman in the face. He recounted this incident in a documentary about the revival. Can you imagine going to church and somebody slapping your mother in the face? No, I don't think so. Bentley ended the revivals after other charismatic Pentecostal leaders began to question Bentley's methods and claims about healings. He also, I think, said that he was getting messages from angels in his bathroom or whatever, angel named Emma. I don't need to get messages from an angel. I have a Bible. So I don't need your message from an angel. Stick with the word of God. That's the best thing. I'm not big on people with these visitations from angels and God takes them up in visions and they're shaking nations and they're doing all these things and then they can't preach the gospel with integrity and honesty. So I don't want to hear about your visions and your dreams and all that. No. Give me good, solid teaching, good Bible teaching. That's what I want to hear. But anyway, let's hear the end of, let me play this Patricia King clip where she's apologizing for calling. He says, oh yeah, you heard him say that. Yeah, she called the lady I was having the affair with at the time, she called her a Jezebel. Well, here's the Patricia King.
Meaning yourself and myself and Stephen and Rob and others, but we're here tonight, mm-hmm. and so obviously you've reached out because you even said earlier that as recent as this week.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I've reached out to Todd for a season during the heat of all this. You know, I was a little bit more quiet just because of the tribunal process, and I was trying to honor that. But now that that's been released, I messaged Todd on Sunday, and he got back to me, and we've actually gone back and forth, and it's a beautiful thing. It really
is,
you know.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
And I just want, just for the record, just so that you understand and don't feel like, you know, we've been trying to do things without reaching out, is that I did reach out to Todd in August through a text, because over the years we've been texting back and forth and we've had, you know, love exchanges, you know, like love you, miss you, that kind of talk back and forth, very, very short, but just, you know, to keep in touch. But this August, of course, because of the tension of the situation and I just, you know, got stuck in the middle of it. I felt terrible. So I reached out by text, very tender text. I've got it on my phone right now. But he didn't respond back. And then again, I reached out even again this morning in the midst of it and not heard back. And you can understand why. I think Todd is very angry at me, maybe hates me or whatever. It's been hard over the years with my confrontation or my lack of tolerance, because I made it clear in 2008 I was not in agreement with, I mean, this is just my conviction.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm, you know, other people have different convictions and they have to own it. But my conviction was I felt that it was a very dangerous time. It was a very dangerous step for the body, for Todd. It just needed to be properly cleaned up. And so I was very vocal about that, and with Todd. And so I can understand his feelings. I hope one day that things will be reconciled. But, you know, if any of you need to know that I really do love him. Now, I want to clear up something right now, because it's just coming to me, is that Todd has mentioned a few times with pain in his heart, and I totally get this. He said that I said back in 2008 that I called his wife Jessa. Well, she wasn't his wife yet, but I called her Jezebel. And I want to take ownership of that for you tonight, because I know that some of you have said, oh, I'm sure Patricia never said that, but I actually did. I actually did say something like that. Not exactly in that way, but I do want to say, first of all, that I'm so sorry for any hurt that came as a result of that, and I reached out to Todd and Jessa after that as well. But it was in a different context than how it's being portrayed. Mm. I wasn't trying to slam Jess in that way. What I was concerned about was Todd and his history and his life, his marriage, coming under a principality assault. Mm. And he was had huge, massive influence worldwide.
Yeah, yeah.
The Spirit of God was moving powerfully, and I knew, I knew because of the background, the vulnerabilities, I thought the enemy could try to take him out,
right.
And I heard what was going on, and out of my love for Todd, I tried to give him a warning about a Jezebel spirit assault. And at the time, I had heard that, you know, Jessa had an affair with a pastor before, and there was stuff going on there, so I brought it up in conversation. I said, you know, I think this is a Jezebel assault, and isn't it interesting that her name is Jess? I hadn't even met her yet. I still haven't met her, and I'm so sorry, Jessa, if you get a hold of this message. I'm truly, deeply sorry for any hurt that I caused you. It wasn't meant to be on any person generally. It was just that I was concerned about the assault that he was going to step into if he made those wrong choices. And, of course, he went ahead and did it, and as I look at the pattern right now and everything that's happened, because Jezebel operates in immorality, and I don't.
Here's the thing. The woman that he's married to now, he was committing adultery with her when he had a wife. So what are you supposed to say? Oh, nice little adulteress. I'm just so sorry if I raise my voice to you or if you're offended. I don't want to offend you. It's so ridiculous. You don't need to apologize to somebody that's running around with somebody else's husband and taking the husband, the breadwinner, and the father away from the children. Of course, nobody really takes anybody away from somebody else. They go willingly, usually. But it's the responsibility of one of the parties to say, no, I'm not going to continue in this, because there's a wife and or a husband and children involved. So there's really no need for an apology. Anyway, I thought that was a little strange. But I'll play a little bit of this audio from Stephen Powell. And he was the one that originally made the accusations. And I'm glad he brought this out in the public, because it needed to be said. Here's some of his testimony.
Restored. Just terrible, terrible sin. And things have come up. Allegations have come up. Not just allegations, evidence. And the only thing that we've seen that's been done was, you know, Todd was sat down for, we were told, for 6 months, you know, in 2013 for an incident involving a male intern. And but he still didn't have to, you know, get secular work. He still didn't have to, you know, go get a job, anything like that. So he was still supported by the ministry while he was sitting down, which in my mind is like a paid vacation for serious sin, serious issues. And, you know, I'm not coming on the broadcast today to point a finger to try to be self-righteous, to try to say that I'm holier than thou, anything like that. But I do believe there's a standard that God requires of leadership in the church. We're not perfect. God doesn't require us to be perfect, but I believe he does require a standard of holiness, a standard of uprightness, a standard even in our hearts that we carry in our hearts that say, you know what, even if I am struggling, I'm not going to justify sin. I'm not going to find ways to live with my sin, and I think that's what's happened in this case. I think there's a level of deception that has come in for terrible things to continue. You know, I contributed to things like excesses, you know, in the grace movement, you know, that have turned into all these things. I'm coming before the body of Christ. I'm reaching out to leaders right now with this broadcast. You know, I haven't handled everything right. I'm not a trained investigator or journalist. I've just done, honestly, the best that I know how to handle what's come to me. Originally, these reports, these allegations came to me unsolicited. I didn't go seeking them. They came to me, a few allegations and testimonies. And when I looked into them, I discovered a series of just horrible, horrible things that I never dreamed was going on. You know, and I've seen over the years behavior with Todd and, you know, people around him that, you know, I felt was, you know, not right. I felt was ungodly. At times, I've even taken it to leadership. I saw nothing done at that time. But I felt at the time, over the years, it wasn't my place to judge another man's servant. I felt that I was supposed to cover with love. Love covers a multitude of sins. I mean, all these things I've been weighing in my heart. But I do believe that there's a time that God gives to repent, and I believe that that time's up. I believe that's why.
Yeah. See, it's the, I don't know why people feel guilty when they see this kind of debauchery going on, but they do. They feel like they owe some kind of loyalty or something to these people, but it needs to be brought out into the open. It's a big problem in many circles, and we can't try to cover it up. Because there's people involved that are being victimized, and we're supposed to be watchful of our brothers and sisters. But I did see a caller, and I'm sorry I didn't take your call. You were calling from area code 301. I think you were calling into the show. Anyway, please call back again, or you can email me. If anybody wants to email me, you can email me, Susan at propheticnews.com. That's the email address, Susan at propheticnews.com. And I will answer your email. So that's available. But anyway, that's our program for today. I tried to get the audio. For some reason, I couldn't get my sound recorder to work today. I was trying to get the audio from Jimmy Battle's testimony, which he does bear his soul and testify about what occurred between him and George Bloomer so many years ago. But that video is on YouTube, and it's on a channel by Daryl Moore. And like I said, it is graphic. There is some language that you might find offensive. So if that bothers you, then don't look at it. But if you wanted to hear his testimony, he tells it. And he seems very, very credible, a very nice young man. And that went through a terrible ordeal as a 19-year-old when the guest preacher seduces him. It's just devastating. It's devastating. Some people don't recover as far as they leave Jesus over these things, which they shouldn't do because it's not Jesus that did it. But I guess a lot of people say, well, why did this happen to me? And why, God, did you allow this to happen? Of course, that's normal. I think we all do that when things happen to us. It's like, why? You can't figure it out. But anyway, that's available for you to look at. So We'll see what develops. It'll be interesting to see, because I know that there's many other well-known people out there that are closeted homosexuals, and it hasn't really been brought out into the open like it should be. But in God's time, when he's ready, then he unveils these things so that people know who these people are, and the Bible says to avoid them. And be careful. Be careful. Don't be so naive and trusting. We want to be, but you just can't. You just have to really have your antenna up. And if you start feeling weird around somebody, usually that's a pretty good sign that you shouldn't be alone with the person, especially. And usually God gives us these little warnings, so we have to just follow those promptings. I know the Holy Spirit has warned me so many times about things, and sometimes I miss it totally. I don't heed what he's telling me, and then I make some dumb mistake. And sometimes you do have to suffer for your mistakes. You really do, because you didn't listen to what God was telling you, and you can't walk it back, especially if you're dealing with relatives or neighbors or whatever. It's funny how people don't forget things and they hold a grudge. It's terrible to hold a grudge and to be bitter and angry and to try to get revenge because of what somebody has done. And I guess a lot of these people, a lot of the predators anyway, they like to make it look like somebody's being vengeful, but it's not being vengeful to expose these kind of things. Vengeance is when somebody does something to you that's unwarranted, and then you think, how am I going to get back at that person? Oh, I think I'll report them to this agency and that agency, and I'll do this to them and do that to them. And the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. There's some things, of course, that have to be reported. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do those kind of things, because there's some things that need to be reported. But always make sure that you pray about it and you don't do things to hurt people deliberately because they hurt you. But of course, child molesting and being a predator is another thing. That should always be uncovered and shouted from the housetops. And you shouldn't feel guilty, and you shouldn't let them. They're very cunning, these people. They actually will try to put a guilt trip on you, like you're doing something wrong by uncovering the fact that they preyed on you. Yeah, they like to do those kind of things. And then to make you look like you're the evil one. How dare you tell people about what they did? It's very, very evil. But that's the nature of the beast, the sin nature. And people that have been turned over to a reprobate mind, which a lot of them have. So remember, the most important thing today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you repented truly of your sins and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins? Because he said he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So being born again, it's just not a saying that people make up. Jesus said it in the third chapter of John, that ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And Romans 10:10 says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He died on a cross for your sins. He rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he's coming again one day to deliver us from this crazy mess. Amen. And we say, oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. God bless you. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening all over the world. My friends in England and South Africa and France and Germany and Australia, Singapore, many countries that have been tuning in. Thank you so much. Okay? Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.